Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this tough guy list here in a second. And the fact that Hillary Clinton's on it, which is great. I mean, I'm sure you see there's that picture that goes around of Hillary Clinton with, like, in the big dominatrix outfit with the boots and the big cat of nine tails just waiting to beat your ass senseless for some perceived infraction. And I suspect that that's not too far from the reality of dealing with her. She's kind of sexy in a strange way. Anyway, we'll talk about that list here in just a few. Coming up later this hour, we've got another installment of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. This is it.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Every time you laugh at retarded children, God kills a kitten. I don't like kittens anyway. What do I care? Whatever happened to beatboxing? That's something that doesn't happen anymore. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Which I guess kind of goes without saying since we're making fun of retarded children.
Are these children?
I mean, it is, aren't they all children, really? I mean what's the difference? I don't think I'm being callous when I say that the answer's yes, no matter how old they are. I mean, can you tell the difference between them and the kids of Whitney High age-wise? Matt? Can you do a little back-to-back here? Can you run both simultaneously and flop back and forth? Can you do that?
This sounds like the guy from Kids of Whitney High. The one who's singing about Cucaracha.
How many singing styles can you really have when you have Down syndrome? And I'm not trying to be crass there. I'm just saying there is a certain style. There's a certain gestalt you're going to have. This is a little edgier. This is what you move on to. You start with that, then you move on to the kids.
See, there he is. You hear him?
Better production value here, of course.
We're all going to hell.
Yeah. You went to college for a communications degree, Sarah. WSU trained you to work on this show. All right, we got Tony we're going to get to here in just a moment. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. We're going to talk about today's top five as well. Top five drinks with which to get girls intoxicated. This is Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's News with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, CBS has already apologized for Janet Jackson, and now a Native American group wants him to apologize for Outkast. The National American Cultural Center in San Francisco thinks Outkast's performance at the end of the Grammys was racist. The group said the dancers dressed as racist stereotypes of American Indians, and the USC band that joined them at the M wore feather headdresses and war paint. One group says it was the most disgusting set of racial stereotypes aimed at American Indians has ever seen. The group has filed a complaint with the FCC, calling for a nationwide boycott. And now, it's time to pick on Kid Rock. A Democratic senator from Georgia is upset about the American flag poncho that Kid Rock wore in the halftime show. Zell Miller said, "The thing that yanked my chain the hardest was seeing this ignoramus with his pointed head stuck through the hole that was cut in the American flag, yelling about having a bottle of scotch and watching lots of crotch." Miller said, this is the same flag we pledge allegiance to, the same flag that's draped over the coffins of our war dead. Miller thinks Kid Rock should be, quote, tarred and feathered and ridden out of this country on a rail, unquote.
You know, first of all, no one is ever tarred and feathered. It's not a thing that happens.
That's what they do in the South.
And where is this rail? Where is the rail they always want to... It's like, you know, as George Carlin once asked about the country going down the tubes. Where are these tubes? Is it one tube? Is it a whole lot of tubes and the country's got to be put down the tube separately?
Is it an inner tube?
I don't understand where the rail is. The only person in my life I ever known who was actually tarred... I mean, I didn't know him. But the only person I can actually say was tarred and feathered was Joseph Smith, who was the scam artist prophet who founded the Mormon Church. And, you know, that's it, man. So, you know, and it's my flag, too. And if you want the flag to stand for, you know, apple pie and mayonnaise and Wonder Bread and tractor pulls, that's fine. But for me, the flag stands for crotch. That's what it is. It's crotch and blow and MTV and retarded
it's
children
for
singing.
Freedom of speech. So shut the hell up.
That's what I'm saying. That's... Okay, that was
yeah,
perhaps...
I know it was.
That was, yeah, that was perhaps ill put together there. Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
Hey, who wouldn't want to scare the dickens out of Nicole Kidman? Take her to a butterfly farm. Nicole says she's scared to death of butterflies and says when one flies by, her heart thumps and her stomach turns over.
Better watch out or the butterflies will get you.
Paris Hilton's biggest fear is sweaty guys who kiss her on both cheeks. Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
The cheetah is the fastest animal on Earth. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Subject line of this email. Can I just tell you, this is an email that only we would get, and I say that with not a small amount of pride. Subject, retarded singers are the best! Exclamation point. Rick, I must know how to get a copy of I've Had the Time of My Life, the retarded version. Is that like a house mix? So it's like a 12-inch mix and a dance mix and a Sin City mix and a retard mix. That had to be the funniest thing I've ever heard. My cube mates at work must have thought I was having a conniption at my desk. Let me ask you this. What is a conniption? I mean, your mom always told you, don't have a conniption fit. Is it a real thing? No one knows. While you were playing it because I was laughing so hard, and yes, I know I'm going to hell because of it, but I do not care. Any info is appreciated. Full-time listener, Tiffany. Excellent. There you go. Love girls named Tiffany. All right. Anyway, so I don't know. We'll play it again later on because Rick Emerson cares. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Later on, Jen Lane's going to be here. Today's top five drinks with which to get girls intoxicated. We now continue today's How Chicks Think segment because it's really the only logical way we can follow up the retarded singers. Tony, you're a full-time listener in Portland. The question today was, it was sort of a composite question from several guys. It was basically, how can you ask a girl out and look smooth and not look like a freaky stalker?
Well, the reason I was calling is when Joey began to attempt to answer that question, mm-hmm. I just needed to clarify. Did she actually equate a high school Sadie Hawkins dance with the male dating experience?
Well, because I was saying that women will never know. I mean, there are exceptions. But as adults, I said that women will never know how difficult it is to ask out a guy because the chance of rejection is just infinitesimally small. I mean, it's just minuscule. And Joey, well, what about asking guys to the Sadie Hawkins dance?
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, seriously, that is like Jessica Simpson stupid to think that that's the same thing.
Oh, please. Oh. You wouldn't know.
Taking it to the mattresses.
What do you mean? How would I know? I'm the guy that has to ask the girl, like, at any pub, any party, anything. It's the guy, generally speaking, that has to go out on the limb and face that roll-your-eyes look or look up and down and turn and walk away. I mean, all of that is the danger that a guy faces every single time he has to ask a woman out. And you're talking about when you were 16 and you had to ask some chud to a dance?
It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's
because
not
we're
the
talking...
same thing because that's one chance at refusal out of a year. And you're talking what? You did that, what, 2-3 times in your life? And a guy has to do that every weekend, every night, every time he's going to try and do something? You don't think that wears somebody down? You don't see that there's a difference in that? For you, that's the same thing?
I hear it in your voice. I hear your pain. But, so you've never been asked out by a girl before?
That's not the question.
That's not the question.
No, but
you're saying that your Sadie Hawkins experience gives you the right to understand what it's like for a guy to go out on a limb and ask a waitress or whomever if they want to, you know, accept them in some way.
It is harder to ask a girl out for a guy than it is to ask a guy out for a woman.
Oh.
That is just a fact.
It no, because we don't do it all the time. That's why it's harder for us. And, you know, I ask guys out before.
Yeah, okay.
But after high school?
Look, if you're a moderately decent-looking woman and you ask, I don't know, it's one thing you're coming out of a burn clinic, but I mean, if you're a decently-looking woman and you ask a guy out, the odds are like 8 in 10 that he'll say yes. It is not the same when you're asking a girl out. The odds are at 50-50 at best.
She doesn't get it. She doesn't get it. The cows can record things by now. She'll never get it.
Joel,
so out of all these times you asked the guy out after high school, how many times did the guy say no?
You see, you have to think. Yeah. Whereas for us, it's like, how many times did a girl say yes? Well, there was that one girl. You know, and it's like it's
oh, wham.
I'm not bellyaching about it. It's just a statement of fact. It's harder for guys than it is for women. Now, I'm not saying that you can, if you're a woman, you'll never have a guy turn you down. I'm not saying that there's exceptions to everything. I mean, we're going to make that the opening statement from now until 7 o'clock every night, because Likas always has to say the same thing, that somebody calls up, well, I have the one exception. And, of course, there's exceptions.
Okay.
But generally speaking, when you're asking a guy out, you're a girl, you're asking a guy out, you're risking very little.
Fine, that can be your opinion, but just let me say I do know. I have an inkling of how it feels, okay?
But an inkling is not the same thing as having... That's like saying I have an inkling of what it's like to have your period, but I don't know.
No, that is not the same thing in the league.
You know, that's like saying I had too many tacos and had a bloated feeling, so I know what it's like to have a period.
Yeah, right.
It's not the same. That's what I'm saying. It's not the same thing. Having an inkling is not knowing. Having an inkling is guessing. That's what having an inkling is.
No, it's not guessing. It's you've been there and you know, but not as many times. Whatever. Can we just move on?
Okay, what are we moving on to again?
To my answer?
Jesus. All right.
Okay. So, I think one of the funnest ways to ask her out...
If only that were possible, if it were a word...
is to send her a singing Valentine and ask her out. Then she'll know that you're different
and
special.
Don't listen to this.
And
guy.
It will get her. It will really get her attention.
Deeply retarded.
Then you don't have to get the rejection.
That is so creepy.
Face to face. It's not creepy.
Sarah, let me ask you this. You're at home, sitting there drinking alone as you do, and the door, and then you open the door. Hi, it's a singing telegram from a guy you only vaguely know. What is your first reaction?
Okay, A, I don't sit at home drinking by myself. And B, it's creepy. It would be so creepy. Jolie,
like
no.
You would do it at the restaurant while you're there?
That's embarrassing and horrible, and you shouldn't tell people to do that.
Okay, fine. Here's my second.
See, that's what I'm saying. You are sending guys to doom. You are sending them to their deaths.
No, a girl would like that because it shows that you've taken a little extra effort. It shows that you care. You know that you want to do something a little bit different than the normal guy.
Okay. Different isn't good, all right? Sending a singing telegram is a bad and stupid idea.
Well, just you wait tomorrow, because tomorrow's your Valentine's Day.
Sarah, I mean, are you with me on this, that it's a bad idea?
Jolie, no, yeah, I
No
completely.
Woman wants that.
Nobody wants that, and that's, I just feel bad for the poor person who has to sing it anyway.
That's what they get paid for!
No, but I mean, that's just, it's an uncomfortable situation if you barely know the girl, and he sends a stranger to sit there and sing and dance for you at your doorstep.
And let me tell you this, it's not just girls, I used to know a guy, and this was actually when I was still at school, so it's a little different, because he was like, I mean, his mom picked the worst age. I used to go to school with a guy. He was, I think, turning 17. And let me ask you this. You want to talk about a thing that the Farrelly brothers ought to be sticking in a movie right now. Ask yourself how horrible this would be. Project yourself back into your own 17-year-old body. He's 17 years old. We're going to high school together. There's a knock at the classroom door on his 17th birthday. Mom had sent, not a stripper, but I mean, you know, like it was like the Ferris Bueller thing, you know, like some girl in a nurse's outfit or whatever. The mom had sent a girl to sing him a sort of, you know, kind of sexy, I mean, not adult, but I mean, like sort of a sexy birthday song in like history class to him in front of everyone. I mean, he's lucky that he didn't go home and shoot her in the face and then himself.
Now that's freaky, Rick.
Well, what makes it any better when you're an adult?
Because it's not your mom.
You were just, you know...
Why do you have to just fight with everything I say?
Because it's retarded advice. That's why.
All right, how about this?
Because, you know, because here's the thing. Because it's impractical and it's awkward, and even were that not the case, it would remain a stupid idea for many, many reasons that I don't have time to... Let's talk to Jennifer in Portland, who's a first-time caller. Jennifer, you're on Hot Talk Connecticut KOTK.
Hey, Jolie, forget it. No way, no way. I would think that was totally creepy.
You would?
Totally creepy. No way would I even consider going out with a guy that did something like that.
That's what if it was a hot dude?
If it's a hot dude, he doesn't need to do that.
No, he doesn't.
I mean the hot dude that he's, if he's the hot guy that he sent to you to do the little...
Okay, so that's how he's supposed to ask you out, is by sending a hotter guy over to talk to you?
What's that?
That's like, well, Jolie's, what if the guy who sings is hot? You know what it is? That's like some girl trying to ask me out by sending Elle McPherson to my house, you know?
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's no,
yeah,
right.
You might say yes, because
totally
if she knows Elle that well, you'd be in.
Yeah.
That's like...
No class.
All right. All right, there you go. That's Jennifer, a first-time caller in Portland. In a short while here, we'll get Kristen from account. Let's get Bob, who is a first-time caller and a full-time listener on the I-5. Bob, what's up?
Hey, Rick, I tell you, the running out of town on a rail...
Oh, you know the answer to this, the running out of town on a rail, yes.
Yeah, if you go back to Abe Lincoln, he used to split rails to make fences.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to tar and feather some guy, you know, you need a roofing brush and some hot tar. He's not going to hold still for that. They tie him to the rail, tar him up, sprinkle him with feathers. A couple of guys get on each end of the rail. They haul him out of town.
Excellent. All right. Okay. There you go. Good. Good to know it. There you go. Thank you. That's Bob. I-5. And see, now I know it. Now I know the answer. Yes?
Can I give you another option?
I don't know. Do I have time to jab out my eardrums with a pair of bamboo skewers first? Is Jen here? Is Jen Lane in the house?
Yeah, she is. Sir, just went to go let her in.
All right.
Oh, because I'm not up there.
I'm just trying to keep track of where everything is today.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a little
bit. Hold on. You do that, and while you do it, I'm just going to hit my head against the counter.
Yeah, fine. You go ahead.
All right.
All right, so you kind of have to get in the talking mode. Knock it off. And you talk to her about... You talk to her about... You're really annoying me. Would you stop that?
All right, okay.
That last one kind of bounced.
Go ahead.
You kind of just say, you know, you ask her, you know, she probably has big plans for Valentine's Day. You talk about how it's a tough holiday to be alone. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be alone on Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So you kind of... And the other option is to basically ask for the date first before you, you know, see if she wants to go out with you before you actually say Valentine's Day.
Okay.
You got to feel it out, because maybe she does have a boyfriend, maybe she's doing something, maybe she hates Valentine's Day just as much as you do, and so you kind of, you have something in common, and you just go out and whatever, get flat or something.
The thing is that what you're risking, though, when you're a guy is that if the, and guys, you know this, that if you ask the girl out and she says no, then you just have to go kill yourself, you know, or modify your behavior so you never see that girl again. You know, it's like if it's like a waitress or something, you know, it's just a bad thing.
So this whole question is basically balling into that you guys are afraid to ask girls out.
Well, hello.
Get some balls and just do it.
You know, easily said by the gender that doesn't have to do it most of the time. You know what I mean?
It's 21st century, Rick. It's happening a lot now.
There's also another question or another side to this whole thing. If you're going to ask out a waitress at your favorite little coffee shop that you hang out at, or... you're going to ask out the girl to cut your hair or whatever. The problem is, if she says no at that point, then as a guy, you're now looking for another place to drink coffee. Or
there's plenty around.
Another place to get your hair cut.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know, you're treading on thin ice there, because you're setting yourself up for not only not getting the date, but losing your place of whatever.
There's a lot of places.
That's the eye roll.
You know what? If you're not going to risk anything, then you're not going to get anything, so just...
What are you, George Patton? Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, the lovely and talented Kristen of the County.
Hey.
So...
Well, you know, I just have to say, I have to agree with Sarah and the other gal that called, that you do not send somebody who's singing to ask you out.
Okay, can we... Yeah, you're the definitive answer, and you're artistic, and you still are horrified by the idea.
Well, because you know what the thing is? It's embarrassing for him. If you don't want to go out with him, now he's put it all out there. Like the guys who, like, put up the "Will you marry me" signs at the football game?
At the Astrodome.
Like, what are you going to do? Say, well, you know, no.
No, and
no,
then, of
I
course,
think the answer is no. Then and then how does he feel about that?
Then he has to go incinerate himself.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's so, like some, you know, it's like some guy kneeling in the middle of Rockefeller Center, and will you go out with me? To the, and if she says no, then it's like harikiri, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're with me on the...
I'm with you.
You know, I knew a guy, let me just, back in Utah, I knew a guy that was a singing telegram guy for a living, and he was him, and he had a girl he employed who did that, and he said the number of times that they would get sent to sing sort of, will you go to the prom with me, yeah. And that the girl was so obviously, abjectly horrified. All right.
Yeah, it's
that's what I'm
awful.
Saying. You sound like you're getting better, though.
I'm getting a little bit better.
Excellent.
And you know what? I have no desire to go out on Valentine's Day myself. I'm going to be home with a big bowl of popcorn watching Vanishing Point, Jolie.
Excellent.
Vanishing Point.
There's Kristen in the county. Excellent. All right, we got more on the way, including Ted, a first-time caller. Also, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Today's top five coming up as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. KOTK, you stay there. We'll be right back after this.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah's got the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
2:28, I'm Tim Riley. Good afternoon. This news brought to you by Home Depot. Acting in film and television since the early 1980s, Gary Cole still isn't recognized very often, despite playing Mike Brady in the Brady movie. The film Gary says most people mention is Office Space. Gary says if he can comprehend being recognized and why it's always strange.
You know, I'm talking about the food chain of visibility. You know, I'm not somebody that walks somewhere and, like, draws a crowd. I mean, it's, you know, I get spotted, and but people think that I, you know, sold them insurance or something. They're not sure. Or they say, you look just like that guy that was in a movie that I was in. I mean, they say that, you know. Not all the time, but it's still a surreal situation. You know what I mean? So I don't know that it's you can totally comprehend it because it's just not natural. You know, it's not a natural position to be in.
Go ahead and come in on Sunday. Who was it that was making this observation? This brilliant, stunning. Must have been me. Somebody was making this brilliant, insightful point about Office Space. Oh, it was Sarah, I think. We asked why there wasn't an Office Space cartoon. Was it you?
No, I think you made that comment to me.
Yeah, probably it was me. God damn. God damn, I'm
crazy.
Gifted. No, there was, we were talking about the King of the Hill or something. Some crap. Anyway, but somebody, maybe it was me, was asking why there wasn't an Office Space cartoon. It does seem like an Office Space animated series is money in the bank, man. Because that is, I mean, of all Mike Judge's projects, I mean, that's the one he gets asked about the most. Gary Cole, I mean, just said, I mean, the guy's been on the West Wing. He was on Midnight Caller. That's a guy who gets asked more about the Office Space. I predicted this at the time, that it bombed at the box office, but I said that was going to be a gigantic cult film. And I'm predicting, I mean, they're doing the collector's edition of the DVD, we know that. And I'm predicting, man, they'll do something. They'll do a spin-off, they'll do a sequel, they'll do a series. I mean, you know, you got The Office on BBC, which is pretty much the best Office sitcom going. But, I mean, there's going to be something. You haven't heard the last from Office Space. There's going to be a chapter two to that somehow. You mark my words, you heard it here first.
Gary Cole, tell us the first time somebody confused you with Gary Coleman.
I applied for my first credit card, get an American Express card, because I didn't have any credit cards. And I listed NBC as my reference. And they actually wrote me back, said, I'm sorry, dear Mr. Coleman, you have to be 18 years old in order to apply for American Express. They thought I was good, because I had NBC and Gary Coleman, you know, and nobody, you know, I was like, you know, fresh from the bar stool in Chicago, so nobody knew who I was.
And a quick factoid. Rogers, thesaurus, says conniption means an angry outburst.
Are you sure? First
synonyms include fit, okay. Huff, passion, tantrum, temper.
Okay.
Can be substituted for conniption or conniption fit.
Okay.
Or the retro forecast for this afternoon. Yes. High temperatures in the 50s. Cloudy tonight, rain coming in tomorrow and remaining with us through the weekend. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Okay. If you're... If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
At the time of my life, now I never felt this way before. Yes, I swear, it's the truth, and I owe it all to you.
Cause I'm at the time of my life, yeah, I always felt this way.
It's not Jolie. That's a terrible thing to say, Matt.
I didn't say it was Jolie. I said it's Jolie's voice. It's got that piercing note when it first comes in.
It feels like a knife turning inside your skull. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Coming tomorrow, by the way, we've got another installment of Rick Emerson's It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. I think it's possible that it's worse than this one, too. I mean, at a certain point, it all becomes academic, but... All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend from Barfly Magazine. Great George Thorogood is, man.
I love George Thorogood. George. I used to go see him all the time before he stopped drinking. After he stopped drinking, he sucked. He'd stop in the middle of the concert and give, like, this whole proselytizing AA speech. I think it was part of his, like, agreement
step
for his
number seven.
Drunk driving charges. Whatever.
Step number seven, lecture other people about it. You know, there's nothing... Can I just tell you that I'm all for people treating their bodies respectfully and whatnot, but goddammit, no one... You know, I mean, you know, there's nothing worse than a former junkie or a former lush.
Yeah.
Just going on about, you know, I used to be like you.
The worst ones are the smokers, the former smokers. They get on their high horse and suddenly, oh my God, they can't even be around it. Or, you know, were you just smoking a cigarette? I can smell it in your hair, you know?
I saw Thorogood twice. I saw him once at the Gorge, which was pretty cool. And I saw him at the, where the hell was it? What the hell was it? It was kind of a smaller venue. I think it was the Spokane Opera House or something. You know, 300 seats or something. But man, that's a guy that plays a lot better in a small venue, too. I mean,
well,
300 people,
at,
he just tore that place out.
I saw him at Madison Square Garden in the Meadowlands on several occasions.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. Like, the whole parking lot scene, it was like, you know, 1987, you know, total, like, heavy metal, you know, haircuts everywhere. It was really fun.
Well, Thorogood's one of those guys, too, that people sort of smirk at, you know, the hipsters sort of laugh at because he's just, because it's as Jimmy Rabbit said about the soul music, you know, it's simple and it's basic, but it's, you know, it's honest, man. I mean, you can't take anything away from Thorogood, you know, he's sort of the burger stand, he's kind of the In-N-Out burger of American rock, you know, I mean, it's fantastic. So, anyway, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine's here, we're going to get some phone calls and stuff here in a minute, but first off, wait, we were going to ask you something. What the hell was it?
You were?
What the hell was it? There's something about something and it's all gone now. Yeah, all right. Well, let's talk to Bill. Bill, you're on a cell phone. You're a first-time caller. My memory loss is your game. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I just wanted to say I've enjoyed your show, and it's kind of made me a little twisted. I started getting an attraction for Jolie just because of the whole pissing me off thing, but... that is now gone since you told me that there's a Gracie girl in their family who's into what? Filipino knife fighting?
Well, she's a girl I know. I'm not related to her, but there's a girl that I knew in Utah. She's a Filipino knife fighter. I mean, not like professionally. She's actually a teacher. That's kind of the best thing about it. She's a teacher, also a Filipino knife fighter, kill you 55 different ways, and she also studied under the Gracie family. She can totally, because the Gracie family, for those, I won't bore everybody with it, but they, you know, they, Hoyce Gracie, who's kind of the most well-known when they engage in ultimate fighting, they're wrestlers, and the Gracies have this theory that every fight ends as a street fight. They have this thing that every fight ends on the ground, and so they train people on how to get somebody to the ground and beat them on the ground. And,
well, they're perfectly happy to lie there while you try and beat the hell out of them for about an hour, and then they break your leg.
So there's something sexy about a girl that could knife you without, you know, with in her sleep, you know, and that knows terms like the one-handed open. You know, I mean, that's just something hot about that.
That's beyond sexy.
Yeah.
Now I will just never be happy until I meet a chick like that and have her say to me, "Take me now, sub creature."
Okay. Well, let me know how that works out for you. So anyway, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine.
Yes?
I don't know what the hell is wrong with people. I really don't. I'm not complaining. It's the thing is, let me ask you this about where would our listeners be if they didn't have this show to listen to? That's my whole thing. I'm not trying to overstate the greatness of us. I'm just saying, in the absence of us, I mean, that guy can't listen to Lars. I mean, clearly, it's just not right. I just don't know where those people... I just don't know what those people would do if we weren't here. Okay, let's talk to our good friend, Portland hip-hop artist, The Low. What's up, man?
Man, dude, you got some
your listeners are off the wall there.
No, I'm not. And again, I don't mind it. It's just sort of an interesting anthropological point to ponder. Oh, by the way, you sent me a big scorching email yesterday because we referred to D'Angelo as a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, I'll get you for that.
Yeah,
it's the last thing I do.
All right, okay.
And I'm still picking myself up off the floor for that song, man. That's just wrong.
But oh, the tards, the children, the special. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Yeah. Just I want to give you kind of an impromptu hip hop watch.
Okay.
Just to keep you in the loop. On the 24th, Houdini will be here.
Houdini, the freaks come out at night
at the Lotus.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's an early show because I couldn't find a time for it, but it's during that whole Mardi Gras thing. Or Fat Tuesday or whatever.
And so where are they going to be? At the Lotus?
At the Lotus.
That's that place on 4th and something, right?
Yeah, somewhere down there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, isn't Ludacris going to be here on the 16th?
Yeah, who cares? Anyway.
whack!
On March 4th.
How?
The almighty KRS-One will be here.
KRS-One. I just saw...
Yeah, where's that show at?
That one is at, if I remember correctly, Brabati's.
All right.
KRS-One.
Got to hit them up for tickets.
The guy who created the word edutainment. KRS-One, in fact, I just saw... Did you see that show that was on VH1, Beef?
No.
It's on VH1, probably repeating, but it's part... I guess it's an edited version of a 90-minute movie about, wars and rivalries and beefs in the hip-hop world.
I can't believe I missed it.
They cut it down to 60 minutes for VH1. I'm sure it'll be on again, but it's great because they start with Big Daddy Kane and Busy Bee. All the way through, the KRS-One is there, and they, all the way up through like Jay-Z and Nas.
I gotta see that. And did you get my other email about my gig?
Oh yeah, you got a show coming up too.
Yes, I do.
I'll put it up. When is it?
That is February 26th at Mount Tabor Pub.
Let's make Sarah. Can we make a note to ourselves? February 26th, Mount Tabor Pub, and we will we'll plug it here, and then we'll announce it as we get closer to it.
Dig it.
All right, KRS-One, and then Houdini is when?
On the 24th.
24th
this month.
Lotus, excellent.
That's just going to be insane. I got to be there.
You got to admire a rap act that had the guts to put out a record called Back in Black.
Or a song called I'm a Ho.
Excellent. There you go. There's the low. Try to catch that Beef show on VH1. It's really good. Really good stuff. All right, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back with the top five, and Jen Lane will whore her many... For her many things coming up.
Great.
That's like a full-on Day-Glow shirt you've got in there. It almost kind of hurts to look at it.
Well, it's a good thing I'm on radio then.
Yes. All right, we'll be back. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Stay there. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And way to get smacked down on the Ludacris thing there. Ludacris, bam!
Man, who knew? I didn't know Lowe didn't like him.
Yeah, the thing about Ludacris, he's a scary-looking guy, though. I mean, he's just one of those guys that, thank God. He's like Steven Tyler, It's one of those guys that just, there's no...
Lucky for him, he's good at what
he does. Yeah, I'm glad that guy was able to make it in him, because there's no... You're not going to let that guy teach your children or anything. It's Sarah with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick, this email says, if there was no Rick Emerson show, the listeners would be roaming the streets in a drunken stupor aimlessly for hours on end. Like, it's so different from now. Like, that's a big, that'd be a big shift from the reality of today, All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's roll it. It's today's top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Shouting is
By the way, if you're not watching that Beavis and Butthead, it's not really a marathon at this point, but it's like, I think every Friday they do like 3-4 hours of Beavis and Butthead. God damn, that's funny. You know, and it's not even just, it's, the great thing about Beavis and Butthead is just refreshingly, bracingly stupid.
What channel is that on?
MTV2.
Oh, you have MTV2.
Yeah, MTV2! Sorry?
I just have the bronze package myself.
All right, so as we approach Valentine's Day and the goal of of men, you know, sharing the pleasant and pleasing company of those of the fairer sex, we wanted to ask Jen Lane to help us compile this top five, the top five drinks you should give women to get them intoxicated, the top five drinks with which to intoxicate women.
Yes.
Is your a woman who knows such things?
Okay, let's start. Should we start with the honorable mention?
Yes.
Okay, the honorable mention was White Russians.
White Russians, which are
better known as Caucasians.
Was it like vodka and milk or something? What is that?
It's Kahlua, vodka, and cream.
All right, okay. White Russians are, and Black Russian is what?
That's just a Kahlua and milk.
All right, excellent. White Russians, they go down easier, so I'm told.
They do, and the girls who drink them do as well.
See, that's why we have to hear. That's what I'm talking about. All right.
At number five was the Cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan. Who wants to weigh in on Cosmopolitan?
The Sex in the City drink.
Sarah?
Yeah, they make the girls feel classy.
And the Cosmopolitan is what?
That's vodka, cranberry juice, triple sec, and lime juice.
Excellent. All right.
Then the fourth one is Buttery Nipples. Which actually, I've never had a buttery nipple.
Oh, they're pretty good.
Really?
And
yeah.
That is what again?
Butter shots and Bailey's.
Yeah.
Shot.
Okay. Who gets to name these drinks? That's my question.
Whoever
it's like
who?
Yeah, but I mean, how do you... It's like, remember that episode of Cheers where Woody was trying to invent his own drink? And he had Frasier just sitting there and he was, you know... And then they came out with the wine, he couldn't remember what it was. Anyway, so I've always wanted to invent a drink. Why can't we just invent a drink here?
You sure could.
Okay.
You could even
show
win
idea
some prize
for next
money.
Week.
There's various contests and stuff every year.
No, show idea for next week. We're going to bring in a bunch of booze and we're going to create a drink during the show.
I'll taste test everything if
no,
you
No, really? Jen, you want to be here for
it? You should have Lucy from Mint make you a drink.
Next
She's
Thursday?
Really good.
You want to do it next Thursday?
I'd love to.
Next Thursday, we're going to create a drink on the show. Tune in then. All right. Next.
The third one was Washington Apples, which is a pretty popular drink or shot. I'm sorry, shot or like up drink, like Cosmo. They taste just like apples. I'm not really sure what's in them, though. I know it's cranberry juice and whiskey and...
Something bad for
I
you.
I guess apple pucker.
Same thing, brain damage. Yeah. That's in all of them. All right.
Number two, my favorite... The Old Standby Jägermeister.
Jäger. I see. I didn't think chicks drank.
Normal
chicks. Well, I.
Yeah, we don't masturbate either.
It's not that. I thought that Jägermeister was just not sort of pleasing enough to the palate for the average chick. Well, because you know, it's licorice, right?
It's not licorice like Sambuca is
It's like licorice and an old tire sort of mixed together. Isn't that the deal?
No.
I just thought it was more of a guy's drink. I had, you know, it's like you think Jägermeister, you think, like there are no Jäger guys. There's Jäger girls,
I think that it's more of a guy's drink, but if you can find a woman who will, like, you know, sit down and go shot for shot with you, you're pretty much in at that point.
Well, yeah. That's pretty much true.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and number one?
Number one, the AMF, a.k.a. Long Island Iced Tea with the blue stuff in it.
Wait, so is it the same drink?
It is, except they use blue Curacao instead of triple sec.
And so a man can't be seen drinking that because it's blue.
If you're in a frat, you can be seen.
Is that also called electric iced tea? Is that the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, there you go. Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine presenting the top five drinks with which to get girls intoxicated. We'll come back and we'll whore all things Barfly on the other side. Stay there for the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOT.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Joe says, Rick, if we didn't have this 3-hour radio block, we would be at the library looking for internet porn. Excellent. Well, those are my people. All right, couple things before we whore all things Barfly-y. We want to talk about the Butt Frenchers, along with the Altar Boys, our good friends, the Altar Boys, the Nines, and of course the Muddy River Nightmare Band. We love those guys too. We're going to be at Conan's Pub tonight, 39th and Hawthorne, 10 p.m. Conan's Pub, which I understand is filled with stinky, repellent hippies, but there's going to be good music, so it's kind of a wash. And the idea of the Altar Boys and the Muddy River Nightmare Band playing in a place that's filled with hippies is kind of pleasing.
Oh, it's going to be great.
You know, it's like, remember that, whatever happened to Naked Violence? Whatever happened to those guys? Those guys are like hippie killers, you know? That's a great name for a band, Hippie Killer. Anyway, the Butt Frenchers, the Altar Boys, the Nines, and Muddy River Nightmare Band tonight at Conan's Pub, 39th. And Hawthorne. So the Altar Boys and Muddy River Nightmare Band especially. We're big fans of them. And they're fans of us too. So it's, they're good guys. Go check those guys out. Tonight, 10 p.m. Conan's Pub, 39th and Hawthorne. Jen Lane, what's coming up in the world of Barfly?
Well, we have our happy hour today from 6 to 8 at 15. At 15 Southwest 2nd. And we'll do some trivia. And we'll have some prizes. And we'll have some appetizers. And DJ Cad is going to be DJ for us. Should be lovely.
All right.
Come on down.
And that is, so what's today? Today, Thursday?
Yeah,
Thursday.
We do it every Thursday.
And then what's coming up?
8, 15.
What's coming up next week?
Next week we're having a benefit for John Chandler, who's our editor, and was the editor of the Portland Rocket, and he needs to lose his gallbladder. So we're having a benefit show for him at Dante's on Thursday with the Minders, Clampett Gas and Buck, the punk group, Cute Don't Cut It and Hazmats.
I really like the punk group.
And Cute Don't Cut It is a great name for a band.
Yeah, isn't that adorable?
And so this is next Thursday?
Yes, next Thursday at Dante's.
All right, so we'll hoard that some more next Thursday. Next Thursday, we're going to create a drink. You have to be here.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right, we'll create a drink.
We need to get a blender.
Good stuff. No, we've got blenders. I think we've got all the fixings.
Okay.
That's one thing that we're well equipped to do is to get people drunk.
Can we take a live remote to a liquor store?
There's one across the street.
Uh-huh.
We got a cell phone. Excellent. All right, Jen Lane, the address for the website is barflymag.com for more information. Thank you for being here, as always.
Thank you.
CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, Jen Lane, Jolie, Kristen from accounting, the low. Entertaining, retarded children of the world everywhere. John Ashcroft, John Kerry, Jane Fonda, Creepy Michael Jackson, etc. Be sure to see the Altar Boys and the Muddy River Nightmare Band tonight at Conan's Pub, 10 p.m., 39th and Hawthorne. The Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon. For Hot Talk, Tonetti, KF2K, in the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, is 1F Matt Peterson. As always, we thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Like us next, world-famous Phil Henry Show at 7. We'll see you tomorrow noon for the KF2K Noon News Hour. Thanks for listening. Be safe. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Out, gone, sacked, fired.